Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, butter. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, butter.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
butter.
Sha-la-la-la,
sha-la-la-la, butter. Dip, 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 dip,
dip. And it's from a Merrill Crawford who's 9 years old and he lives in San Diego, California. He writes, Dear Sha-na-na, in your last show, one of you said the word use. Well, I asked one of my teachers about this, and she said, there's no such word as use, and that you guys should be ashamed of yourselves for setting a bad example for all us kids. And then she made me stand in the corner for watching your dumb show in the first place. Well, maybe so, Merrill, but in the meantime, we're big stars, and you're a 9-year-old punk who's got nothing better to do than write snotty letters to big TV stars. So who's right? Us or you?
How about that? Does that bring back memories, Jocko?
Yous are right.
Jocko Marcelino, a member of Sha-na-na, celebrating their 50th anniversary. They are the ultimate 50s tribute band. How are you, Jocko? Great to talk to you.
I'm good, and I appreciate that you guys could pronounce my last name correctly.
Marcelino.
Very impressive. Yeah, very impressive. Thank you.
All right. We were talking about you a couple of days ago and earlier today, in fact, and Bill and I are a little on the other side of 50, and we watched the Sha-na-na show, but now someone has texted and said that originally it came on when? Because I think we're at the wrong age.
Well, we did the pilot in 1975,
So
it ran in syndication. And it ran all different times all around the country, so it wasn't particularly one slot. So, you know, it was great. It actually went worldwide about 8 years.
It was so good.
You know, you couldn't ask for. Yeah, well, you know, we've been very fortunate over, you know, 5 decades. We didn't have to depend on record sales, though we sold well and have some gold and platinum, but we got involved in some huge media projects. You know, our 8th gig was Woodstock. And then later we had a TV show and, you know, was sort of waiting. And then the TV show brought us, you know, every night. It was like having a hit record. And then in the middle of that, they recruited us to play Johnny Casino and the Gamblers in the movie Grease. And we had more songs on that soundtrack than any other artist. So it's been, you know, we're very fortunate. And I can't believe it. I'm still doing it.
Well, you must be good at it then. Do me a favor, Jocko. Go back to that. Something you just mentioned about Woodstock. It was your 8th job as the band, Sha-na-na. Their 8th job was Woodstock. How did that happen? Because the odds of that are very, very slim.
Well, we were at Columbia, and it was sort of a spinoff of a glee club. And then they started doing the oldies, and they brought me in. I was drums, and we went and bought, you know, leather jackets and rented Gold Lamay outfits. And it really was something on campus. You know, we did a show, our first show, and invited everybody, sort of a night off from the revolution at Columbia. And it was so well received, we only knew a half hour of songs. We just did them again. And I knew there was something brewing, you know. And so we did that. We had 12 guys at the time, and we, you know, did some local things, went down to Yale, and then we were about to pack it in, but we went down to the Steve Paul scene, which was in Hell's Kitchen, which was where the rock stars hung. Mm-hmm. And we played for about, until like local mobsters leaned on the thing. The very last night, the producers of Woodstock were at this place before they shut it down, and we got hired on the spot. We got paid $350, and the check bounced.
Oh,
but
no.
The person most responsible for our career in many ways is Jimi Hendrix, because Jimi came down 3 or 4 nights, and he brought those producers down. So it was, you know, wild. I'm not like a 19-year-old kid, and here we got Hendrix and Joplin and Led Zeppelin and. But Jimi got us that gig, and as it was unbelievable, we spent the whole weekend out there at Woodstock. And then we were thinking, oh, we're not getting on, because we kept getting pushed back. But Jimi demanded, and his management, that the acts who were hanging out got to go on. They wanted him to go on Sunday night and stop the event because the stage was sinking. You know, they were having electrical problems, you know. But Jimmy said, no, my deal is I close the show. And so he saved our slot. So we're very indebted to the great and unbelievable Jimi Hendrix.
And you guys didn't really know him well, right? He just came to see you, but you guys weren't friends with him, right?
Well, no, but, you know, we became friendly, and then we did shows. We were in festivals together.
Yeah.
But, no, Jimmy was, you know, before he was Jimi Hendrix, he was an R&B phenomenon. He was playing with the Isley Brothers, you know, Twist and Shout Isleys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he was really obviously a student of all sorts of rock and roll and rhythm and blues.
Did you make history at Woodstock for being the youngest person to perform? You were how old?
Well, I was the second youngest.
Ah.
But the first youngest, the youngest, was Henry Gross, our guitarist. So the two of us battled for the youngest, but Henry was it.
And you were 19 when you played Woodstock?
I was 19 when
I played Woodstock.
It was really...
I'm so jealous.
We've seen it on film. You were there. Was it as crazy being there as it seemed when you see documentary footage of it?
Well, you know, it was the best of times and the worst of times, you know. You really had to take care of your neighbor because the artist backstage immediately became a medical station. And I remember I was probably taking some sort of mild hallucinogenic, but then I decided I wanted to be alone. But of course, there was only 500,000 people there with me. It was not the ideal place for a claustrophobe.
Right.
But it was cool. The music got me in a good groove. But you know that's it. Really was. It could have been Altamont. You know.
Yeah.
It could have been Sympathy for the Devil if you take those two films and re-edit them.
Yeah.
But it was an extraordinary thing, and we got a sense as we spent the weekend out there how big it was going to be. And somebody had the New York Times Sunday morning paper, and it was a big aerial shot of Woodstock, and I knew, oh, this is a legendary concert which will never be repeated again.
Although the attempt to repeat it, 50th anniversary, you guys will be performing June 1st at the Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, and then you guys have a new LP and CD, the 50th anniversary set coming out.
Yeah, they're doing a smart thing up at Bethel Woods because there's another site that the producers have up in Watkins Glen Racetrack, but that's they're sort of doing a Coachella Woodstock, which is cool, and we're playing actually at the site of Bethel Woods, right there where it all happened, the sacred ground of rock and roll in Woodstock.
And I'm loving that this is being issued on LP, because vinyl has made such a huge comeback. It was popular when you guys were around, and now it's come back again.
Yeah, and we're excited. We've collected 12 live cuts from over the years. And then the current Sean and I partner guys each picked one of their studio songs. So it's a nice collection, and we're excited that it's coming. And we're excited to be going back to Woodstock, the original site.
Isn't it amazing? 50 years. Isn't that just throwing you? It doesn't seem like 50 years ago, does it?
Not at all. You know, people tell me, what was the best show you did? And I could never did. There were obvious ones, you know, Madison Square Garden, Woodstock. But I say it was last Saturday night. We rocked them, you know, whatever it was. Because, you know, this music is so loved by everybody.
Sure.
And so well-known. And, you know, you hear it in movies and TVs and oldies formats. But, you know, we have fun. We do shtick. But, you know, we really go out of our way to recreate it accurately as we can.
Oh, that's excellent. Jocko, can you hold on? Are you okay for time?
Sure.
All right. Jocko Marcolino is our guest, Sha-na-na founder and current member. We'll continue this conversation in just a little bit.
covered in goosebumps, Bill, I gotta tell you.
Yep. Sha-na-na is 50. Jaco Marcelino, one of the founding members of Sha-na-na, joins us right now. Jaco, remind me, Wendy and I started to talk about this on the air the other day, and I don't remember the specifics, but for a while there was a guy touring around pretending he was a member of Sha-na-na when in fact he had never been with the band. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, we did a thing on CBS about that. Yeah, that guy, he was a bad dude, and I think he's passed away.
Oh, but he fooled a lot of people for a long time.
Yeah, he was down in the Florida area.
Yeah,
there's a lot of doo-wop down there in Florida. So he would plug himself into somebody's lineup, and until we found out, and then we had to go, you know. Of course, he threatened us or something, if I recall. But
he threatened you.
It was all, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. It's all over now. Let's put it that way.
All right. Good.
Or Stones would say.
Yes, absolutely. And let's hope that Mick Jagger, his heart surgery goes well. I kind of halfway thought that was leading up to an April Fool's Day joke that they had to cancel or postpone some of their shows because of Mick's heart issues. But we wish him luck.
No, it's good. Yeah, of course. The great Mick Jagger.
Although I got... Go ahead, Jaco.
Now, there's another rumor that about Woodstock that Paul McCartney was going to join Ringo and do a Beatles and Monkees reunion. Of course, it turned out to be total April Fool's baloney.
Yeah, God. A lot of Zeppelin stuff was going around yesterday.
Oh.
Jaco, we were watching old clips, of course, when you read that letter, and I forgot how much of a crush I had on you. I still do.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I will say, thanks to Bowser, I rolled up my, I didn't even smoke at the time, but I put cigarettes in my white T-shirt and rolled up my sleeve. I mean, you got younger kids to love 50s music, you guys.
Yeah, I hope they didn't get it to love cigarettes.
No,
but yeah,
definitely not.
To love the music. Well, that was the thing, and it's been extraordinary to go to a show and see three, even four generations of a family singing along, mouthing the words, you know, and wearing the outfits. And, you know, it always comes around, the style, the music, the fashion, the cars. It's, you know, Americana, and... we're glad that we sort of were the neoclassicist, big word, big Columbia word.
That's a good one.
of rock and roll, and so many careers came back, and so much great doo-wop and rhythm and blues is being played today.
I have to say, in addition to the music always being entertaining, Jaco, the TV show was genuinely funny. You guys really did a great job on the TV show.
Yeah, it was sort of vaudeville. It was slapstick a little bit and wrapped around all this good music. And, you know, it was unbelievable to do. We'd shoot a show and a half per tape day. It was one of the fastest shows ever recorded. And, you know, and it had a great ride.
Can I tell you a moment I'll never forget? You had a guy in Sha-na-na, I want to say his name was Johnny, but I could be wrong, who looked a lot like Billy Crystal, and then in one episode, Billy Crystal was on, and they stood next to each other, and you couldn't tell who was who.
Yeah, no, that was always a shtick. And we did a lot of shows with Billy. You know, he would open up to us. Yeah, it was great. My favorite moment, you know, there were a lot of them, but was Ethel Merman.
Oh, my God.
She was a guest host, right?
Yeah, she was a guest, and so she's standing in front of this lush sort of purplish curtain, right? And she says, "Curtains up!" The curtain flies up, and we're all standing there posing, and she turns around, looks at us, and turns back to the camera and says, "Curtains down!"
James Brown was on the show, the Ramones, Isaac Hayes, Phyllis Diller. I loved Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, the Ramones was fun. James Brown was specifically and really great for me because it was sort of a milestone in my drumming. James had not heard the track. We cut it the day before, and I had the band sing the background to get it to be more soulful. And we cut Too Funky in here. So literally, we're in front of a live audience, and James is going to sing it, you know, and he hadn't heard the track. So we're all sitting at the edge of the stage, and James is listening and nodding his head. And then he looked up, and he said, "Who's the drummer?" And I went, "Oh, man, wow." And I go, I am Mr. Brown. And so he puts his hand out, palm up. He said, "Brother," and he gave me five.
Oh.
The godfather of soul.
Yeah.
Gave me five, so, you know.
Well, there's an old adage in show business, Jocko, that if you can work with James Brown and Ethel Merman, you're doing something right.
That's right. It was very eclectic.
Yes, it sounds like it was
a ton of fun, and obviously why I still do this. We're out here rocking. I got seven great vocalists, and we have self-contained, two drummers, guitars, you know, we sax. And we've been able to, as people move on, you know, recruit some very fine players, and mostly with great hair, because that's very important.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Good hair. And I can still do a pompadour.
Still to this day, yeah.
It's a little gray, okay, I admit.
It's all about the volume, gray. Not the color.
That's it. Well, I used to, you know, I said, I'm never going to dye it. Never mind. I'm going to be a... Oh, you know, you call it silver now, right?
Yeah,
it sounds better.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Well, we need to mention that the group will be performing June 1st at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts. That's a 7 o'clock start. If you haven't seen Sha-Na-Na, what are you waiting for? 50 years of service to the music industry. What an honor to talk to you, Jocko. Wendy and I are huge fans, and I know that so many people listening would say the same. So keep it going.
We're coming to your neighborhood in late June. Addison, Illinois, at the Village Green. Sha-Na-Na will be in Addison on June 20th.
June 20th. I'm writing it
down. Writing that down, too. We got to go.
All right.
Sha-Na-Na.com is the best place to send people for more info.
Sha-Na-Na.com, and then they're going to be posting the sale of the 50th anniversary vinyl and LP.
Love it. So nice to talk to you. I still have a crush on you,
okay.
Jocko.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm honest.
You did the best Ethel Merman impression of anyone we've ever had on the show.
And now Bill has a crush on you.
Now I have a crush on you. Thank you, Jocko.
Okay, guys.
Grease for peace.
Thank you.
All right. That's how they used to end the show. Bowser would always go, "Grease for peace," and then he would do the arm thing.
Yeah. He should try that.
I'm going to start saying that when I leave somewhere now.
We should see
Grandma,
if we can get him up in the studio when he's town for Addison.
That'd be fun.
You still got it? Oh, he hung up.
Yeah.
I would love to see him up in here in person.
That would
get up all in here.
Sure.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
A break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.